Okay, anybody from Arizona? Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten. I love Arizona. I know nice people there, I know nice people from there, but some of it is ugly. It is arid desert. I heard Abraham Hicks talk years ago about Jerry and Esther driving regularly from Phoenix to San Diego, and about halfway you have to go through Yuma, which is a corner of Arizona that's sort of smushed between Mexico and California, and it's just ugly. No one was born there or anything, were they? I mean, I'm from Odessa, Texas. I know from ugly. But just because Yuma is today's metaphor, I brought you some pictures to show you that Yuma is pretty grim. That's the fence with Mexico. On the other hand, San Diego. That's San Diego. Love San Diego. So if you didn't know how much more beautiful San Diego was going to be when you get there, you'd be very discouraged by Yuma. When we're traveling, literally traveling, we know where we're going and where we're just passing through. But in life, we get stuck in Yuma because we think that's all there is. It's ugly and desolate, and we wish we'd never come this way. Yuma is where we decide that the disease is incurable, or the relationship is doomed, or bankruptcy is inevitable. Yuma is where we lose hope and nurse disappointments. Life or some life event hasn't turned out the way we expected, and now we're stuck in the desert while everyone else we know is at the beach having a good time. And we forget that Yuma might just be a stop on the way to a magnificent manifestation. I know Yuma's ugliness is A, my opinion, and B, in the eye of the beholder. So is San Diego's beauty. And when we get down to it, it's all just scenery. Desert or beach, ugly or beautiful, our lives have constantly changing scenery, and we're only passing through. I learned this from a friend who characterizes the bad times in his life as just scenery. Illness, conflicts with people, financial problems, a bad mood, a depression is never a permanent destination. And I'll get all sympathetic, you know, I'm so sorry you're going through this. And he'll say, oh, it's just scenery. And I got really intrigued by this because when I'm in Yuma, I suffer. It's not just scenery, it's the ends of the earth. So I'm going to pass the mic around in a little while to ask how you have handled the Yumas of your lives. Being able to shrug off bad times in life, like as if it's just scenery, is choosing how you're going to feel. And it's a simple idea that raises a lot of questions. Where does the scenery come from? I usually get to Yuma feeling like a victim. I've been traveling for a long time, and now this happens, and I was looking forward to San Diego, and now I'm stuck here. Any scenery is created by us. Of course, it's like a movie set. If you want to know what you're holding in consciousness, look around at your life. Is it ugly or beautiful? Is it what you want? Could it be that Yuma is a necessary stop for now? It's important how we look at these periods of life, too. You can look at Yuma, the Yuma experience, with disdain, although staring at ugliness feeds unhappiness. You can search for the cactus flower in the desert. It might be possible to look without any judgment at all. Just notice dust, flat land, tumbleweeds. It is just contrast. Some places on earth are flat and brown, some are green and have water. Seeing both helps us know which we prefer. It's even optional whether we look. You might rather just pull the shades and not look at Yuma. Stay focused on images of San Diego. That's what we're advised by some spiritual teachers. Keep visualizing what you want. Stay focused on your vision. Pay no attention to what's outside the window. We all have these periods of life when we just feel stuck in Yuma. And I am not going to tell you bloom where you're planted, or love what is, unless that's useful for you today. I'm going to say you don't have to look at Yuma through rose-colored glasses. It's okay to call it ugly if it is. You have my permission. It's okay to say some situations in life are painful or difficult or undesirable. Now, there are bound to be some spiritual principles to apply here. There always are. So you know what they are. God is in every situation. God is even in Yuma. Every person is divine. We call it the Christ within. No matter who the person is or what they do, we affirm that person is an expression of God. And I'm afraid in unity we beat ourselves up too often for not seeing the Christ in everyone. But in some people, the Christ is really well camouflaged. Some people just aren't likable, or they're just not going to like us. And saying, oh, well, he's perfect, so there must be something wrong with me because I can't see the Christ in him, it just makes me a victim of my own thinking. I suppose if I were totally enlightened, I would see Yuma as beautiful. I guess I would see Yuma and San Diego as the same place. It's all one. But we live here on the human plane. And I don't think it makes us more spiritual to pretend that every person, place, or thing is equally beautiful to us. Maybe in the cosmic realm it is, but not so much to us. Even Jesus, I love it when he backs me up. Even Jesus told his disciples, shake the dust off your feet and leave the towns where things don't go well. It doesn't serve us to plaster a smile on our face and say, we're fine, oh, there's no problem here. It's like looking at the gas gauge in your car, seeing it's on empty, and just putting a happy face sticker over it. We don't have to claim that every place is beautiful. We might find that every place is worthwhile in some way. That's another approach. We might eventually notice that there are people who are in Yuma doing fine, laughing, happy. What have they found there? Maybe they're choosing to be happy in spite of the scenery, in spite of their external circumstances. Actually, I learned that growing up in Odessa, which looks a lot like Yuma. We couldn't get much nourishment from nature. We got it from other people. West Texas people are really great. So you can stop for a while, explore Yuma, meet people, see what Yuma has to offer, instead of judging by appearances. How can I see this differently? That's our prayer for any Yuma experience. Anytime we're going through something we don't like, how could I see this differently? Resisting it only keeps us there longer. So we can pray, show me the good. I have a friend who grew up in Yuma, literally, and doesn't want to live there, but he appreciates it visually. The clean lines, the distances. And so even in his home in Dallas, everything is uncluttered, flat surfaces with nothing on them, maybe one vase rising up like a single cactus from the desert floor. So sometimes asking to see it differently shows us the beauty. Sometimes it helps us find the road out of town. And sometimes we can't leave Yuma. It's an illness that won't go away. It's the death of someone we love. It's a major life change that can't be reversed. Should we try to avoid Yuma if we can? Well, I fight with one of my friends about this. I'm not willing to believe that difficulty is just part of life. But I know that on the hero's journey, you have to slay dragons and kill the wicked witch before you find the treasure. I say if we're the creators of our own experience, maybe we don't have to create flying monkeys for ourselves. Or maybe we choose to for what we'll learn. So Yuma calls up whatever is in us already. And so does San Diego. It's actually possible to be unhappy there. My friend Laura Shepherd, who moved there from Dallas, is bored with the sunshine and 72 degrees every day. She'll call me up and say, well, it's another beautiful day in paradise. She really misses the thunderstorms and an occasional snow. So we're back to scenery as a reflection of consciousness, because wherever we go, there we are. Our outlook, attitudes, experiences, preferences, all determine how we see a place or how we go through a period in our lives. So, I want to hear from you. When you are in a difficult or unpleasant place, and by that I mean a situation, an experience, a time in your life, when you're stuck in Yuma, what did you do? I have given you 10 ways to look at it. You didn't realize there were 10, did you? It's something we created. It's a contrast to help us know our preferences. You don't have to look at it. You can stay focused on what you want. Bloom where you're planted. Love what is. Acknowledge what's ugly. Look for what's worthwhile. See everything as beautiful because it's all one. Ask to see it differently. Try to find another route. And acknowledge that Yuma reflects consciousness. It's just scenery. So, would you be willing to share about a time in your life when you felt stuck in Yuma? How did you think about it? What did you do while you were there? And did you ever find the road out of town?
I had my hip replaced back years ago. And while in the nursing home here in Wimberley, I kept saying a prayer of wholeness to myself. I don't remember the prayer now, but I know it partly was, I recognize that God is whole, so I also am whole. And the therapists were just wonderful. They were cheerful, and it was just a joy to go see the therapists. And the exercise I enjoyed, although sometimes it hurt. But it was Yuma, but it was made bearable by thoughts.
And the people you found there. Yeah. So who else has spent time in Yuma? Judy.
I've been in Yuma many times. The most recent time is when I left California. My husband and I decided to separate and get a divorce. And I was kind of crushed. And what I did is just what I do when I'm in Yuma is just pray that I don't have my ego go in front of this, that I can really, truly be wrapped in the arms of God and know what I'm supposed to do and let it be clear to me and not have my ego in there trying to confuse me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always pulled up. I always seem to not make that mistake again of going to Yuma at that particular reason. But this last one, I just left the situation and I came to Wimberley. And then I was wrapped up in God's arms, and he lifted me up and plopped me down just about where I'm sitting now.
Uh-huh, I remember.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I believe that just asking for guidance and being truly open to accepting that guidance, and, well, that's how I get out of Yuma. Another thing, and I'm sure everybody saw the Wayne Dyer special, but his version of Yuma, I think, was the lady who gave the 5 chapters of her life. Mm-hmm. And the first 3 chapters, she kept going to Yuma, and she'd fall into the hole. She went to Yuma several times differently, but she'd still fall in the hole. The 4th time she went down that street, she looked at the hole and walked around it. And the 5th time, she didn't even go down that street. So I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but that's how I get out of Yuma. And I'm sure I'm going to be there several more times, but, you know, hopefully not.
It's just scenery. Thank you, Judy. Lee.
The hardest part about standing here is trying to separate all of the amazing images that went through my head when you started going through that. But since you wanted a personal life experience, the first thing I would say that I just wanted to point out, when you said Odessa, I thought Lubbock, and I thought,
yeah,
some of the finest music in the country comes from Lubbock. Go within. If you cannot go out, you know, so go within and find the music. And my personal experience, you were saying about San Diego, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, like a fish out of water, with incredible asthma and a chest infection. And I was in probably the most beautiful, at least a contender for the most beautiful place on earth. I was in Portland, Oregon in the springtime. Oh. And after a whole winter in Oregon, springtime in Oregon has just got to be incredible. But if you're not there, if you're not taking a breath, it could be hell. And I spent 2 weeks. What happened is, yes, go in. It was probably the most valuable time in my whole life, because the way I put it, at that point, I decided that God was the dog and everything, absolutely everything else was the tail. From now on, everything is going to swing from God. And it's just, again, it's the most wonderful experience I ever had. I do not want to repeat it. I want to get through that again. If it ever comes up again, I want to get it through that desert as quick as I can. But that's my
thank you
rendition.
John's in the back.
Well, I just had to say something. The mother of my children happened to be born in Yuma.
I knew there'd be someone.
No, you ask if anybody here was born in Yuma.
Yeah. So.
I've been out there many times. My first after high school job was working in the cantaloupe fields of Yuma, Arizona.
Wow.
And it's a desolate place. And she's got, you know, that's where her parents were born. She's got aunts and uncles, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandparents. I guess it was her great-greats were refugees from the Irish potato famine, the O'Briens. And they were given a land grant in Yuma. Yippee! Having no idea, traveling across the entire United States in a covered wagon to their piece of property, and they looked around and it was Yuma.
Oh my gosh.
And being tough Irish stock as they were, they hooked up a team of mules to a Hondo and they started digging irrigation ditches. And and now those descendants, the mother of my children's uncles and aunts and moms and dads and all that family, and there's a covey of them out there, they are prosperous property owners of thousands of acres of orchards and agricultural property. And they took a bad situation and said, what's good about this? What positive step can I take? And I've just always marveled at those people. I said, how come you didn't die? And they back then, they actually hung wet bed sheets all over their house so the evaporation would serve as air conditioning. But so even when it's hard, it can get better. You know, yeah. Just keep believing.
Are you all hearing great stuff in these stories?
Yeah.
Turn to the people, ask for guidance, go within, dig a ditch. Ron, do you have the mic?
Yes, I do. I have been to Yuma back in 1976. I helped my brother move from San Diego to Houston. And I went through, I guess it's Interstate 8, through the Imperial Valley, just beautiful, lush farmland, which was desert at one time, just like Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of Yuma, it really gets barren. And I got caught in this huge dust storm. You couldn't see past the hood of the car, and we were going 70 miles an hour. My brother was driving, and he was not doing very well, and he kept driving 70 miles an hour. And I knew I was going to be staying in Yuma for a long time if we didn't get off the road. And everything was dark. You couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, the rain came, and everything was washed off.
Mm.
A little muddy, but it was very dirty. But I think when you say, those of you that have been in Yuma, I think we all go through stages in life where we're in Yuma, and it's up to us to get out of those periods of stress that we do to ourselves. And it's all a mind game that we play with ourselves, and it's up to us to to get out of those situations. And I say, you don't have to be stuck in Yuma.
Thank you. Roger, did I see your hand up? I thought there was a hand over here. Was it you? Yes.
Okay, I don't think I've ever been in Yuma. We didn't go through Yuma, did we? No, okay. You know, I think one of the most devastating pieces of information I got was a year and a half ago when Diane was diagnosed with lung cancer. That was one of the least positive pieces of information I've ever had. And events like that, there are two things. One thing I've always admired is pilots are taught to always have not only a plan B, but a C and a D and an E and an F. So when the motor stops, you're thinking about options, not hanging on till you hit the ground. And so I tend to have plans B, C, D, E, and F for things in life. But the thing that I've learned about the events of life, and most of the time I'm not in an airplane headed to the ground, so I have some time, is to think about the emotions that I'm feeling. Actually, for me, I have to go dig around and find them and to experience them. So the most important thing I've learned about the things you don't like about life is to spend some time to understand and appreciate what I'm feeling about that event, and then go on to figure out how to get out of it.
One more.
Well, I've been through Yuma a few times, I think. But I think one of the biggest was 9/11. I was really young at the time, and I didn't really lose anybody, but my parents' shop, it kind of suffered, so we had to move. And I lost, like, a bunch of friends, and my aunt lived there, and she was, like, my favorite aunt, and I really loved her. And we moved to New Orleans, where a few years later, we got hit by Katrina. And then we moved to a little town called Lake Charles, mm-hmm. and we were hit by another hurricane. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to San Marcos, which is not too far from here, mm-hmm. and that's how I came here. So, yeah.
Good. Glad you're here. Let's take one more, Pat.
I was recently infirmed for about 6 months and ended up in the hospital. And I think you've already said, in other words, what my evaluation of it was. But what is the gift mm-hmm. in this present? And the gift was a new me.
It was what?
A new me.
A new you.
I feel
different.
Oh,
cool. Thank you for bringing yourself back here. Thank you. I love your stories and I love your wisdom. I think we should take these thoughts into meditation with Kip.
So let's just get into that space, that quiet, gentle, centered space, where we breathe consciously, deeply. And let's just move into a place where we feel that connection with those that have shared with the words of Reverend Ellen. And we know we're connected. In that one all-powerful energy and mind. In that place that we are always trying to define and understand and grow with. We may call it God or spirit or the universe or simply love. And recognizing that it moves in and through us. Everyone in this room, in this community, and out, ever expanding, ever evolving. And we are always on that path, whether it's a road, a river, in flight or feet on the ground. We are never alone. Because in thoughts and in mind, we are always connected at some point, somewhere. Wisdom and that experience is always available to us to share. Open to that, and we share that, and we know that we are indeed connected. There is so much gratitude. So take a look at the scenery where you are right now. Those things that just bring you joy or a sense of comfort, a sense of gratitude, of relief, of release. And paint that scenery however you would like, with as much detail . Gently breathe. Look out the rearview mirror window. Wave goodbye for the moment. Bring yourself back to this room. Breathe once again, and with gratitude, open up those beautiful voices of yours and join me in the Alleluia.